Well, good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? It's a good day to be alive. Of course, every day is, isn't it? In Christ? It should be. How many of you guys are affiliated with the dock in some way, shape, or form? Well, we got a few people. So you know my wife, Ruth.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that. And I give a hearty amen to that. My name's Tom, and that little blonde over there is my wife, Ruth, and she is definitely my better half. We've been married for 32 years, and praise the Lord for that. So she's awesome. I have two sons, Josh and Jordan. Josh is married to a teacher. He's a teacher as well. Jordan is a film student at Cornerstone Film and Graphic Design, and he is working at Camp Geneva right now, chasing around kids about this big. It's so funny, when he comes home on Friday, he literally just collapses. And I was like, see what you put your mom and dad through for years. You're getting it back. He did say he had a new experience this week. He said, Dad, for the first time in my life, I've been punched in the face by a six-year-old. So he's okay. He's only six, so don't worry. But that was kind of funny. But anyway, so a little bit about me before I get into the Word of God. Very little bit about me. I was born in Kansas. I've lived in Georgia, Ohio, Missouri, Illinois, and then Grand Rapids. But this is home. So when I was a kid, we moved all over the place, but God eventually led us here. A pastor here for many, many years. I've served as a pastor for many years. I served at First Assembly of God over on 44th Street. I worked with, you know, it's a big church, you do a lot of things, but primarily I worked with young adults, college students, and absolutely loved it. Had a blast. Did that for about 12 years. And then God called me into, he punished me by calling me into high school principalship. And not at all. I love teens. I absolutely love teens. I think they're a blast. And so I was a middle school and high school principal for many years. And then I became a K-8 principal for several years up on the west side of town at Westside Christian School. And now I work for Spring Arbor University, Grace Christian University. So I teach at Grace Christian as an adjunct, and I work for Spring Arbor University working with students who are going into social work, getting their MSW and their counseling degrees. So I've been around young people my whole life and college students, and I love it. It's been a blessing. But enough about me. Let's get into the Word of God today. And I love God's sense of humor. I mean, today I'm going to talk about the text is Peter walking on the water with Jesus and storms. And so when I woke up this morning and I looked out and our dog is cowering around my legs because it's storming and the wind is blowing, and I just thought, okay, Lord, time for peace be still. And but the irony was not lost in that storm this morning. But my text today is Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. Matthew 14, 22, and immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. That's very interesting. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, knowing that there was a storm coming. And he made them go ahead to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Another word is tormented. So it was a bad storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So it is dark. You do not want to be out on a lake when it's storming. You definitely don't want to be out on a lake when it's pitch black in the midst of a storm. But that's where they were. And when the disciples saw, or in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus talked to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, You are certainly God's son. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life who's come down from heaven. And Lord, when you came down from heaven, you gave everything. You gave of yourself. And it is no coincidence that you called yourself the bread of life, because bread nourishes us. And Lord, I pray that in this room today, with so many people gathered and so many different needs, so many different thoughts, so many different concerns, so many things going on in each individual life, you know exactly what each one needs, because each one in this room is a child of the King. And so, Lord, I pray you would distribute yourself as the bread of life, that each one would taste and see that you are good, that they would be nourished by the bread of life, by you, by your presence. Speak, Lord, for we're listening. Change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about noise. Noise. Would you say there's a little noise in the atmosphere lately? Just a little bit. You know, a few facts about noise. Did you know that February 25th is National Quiet Day? Who knew? I don't know who started that. Maybe Hallmark, probably to sell some cards. But it is National Quiet Day. I'm going to mark that on my calendar. The scientific unit of sound intensity is anybody know? A decibel. Does anybody know what that was named after, or who that was named after? Alexander Graham Bell, thus the decibel. A decibel is a tenth of a bell. Wow, there's some useless information. One decibel is the smallest difference in sound level that the human ear can detect. Human shouting registers 90 decibels. A howler monkey registers about 128. The bulldog bat squeaks at 137 decibels, 30 decibels louder than a rock concert. Has anybody ever heard a bulldog bat? I didn't even know that a bulldog bat exists. Yeah, I know. That's really loud. The loudest sound made by an animal. What do you think the loudest sound made by a mammal is? What animal? A drill sergeant. Yes, what do you think? Echolocation, a mammal, an animal. A whale. Who's got Wikipedia up? You're right. It is. It's a whale. It's a sperm whale. The click that they make is the loudest sound, 230 decibels. Psychology Today reports that the leading cause for hearing loss is not aging, it's noise. The elderly are at even higher risk of further hearing damage caused by noise pollution. In 2018, the study in the Journal of American College of Cardiology showed that people who are constantly exposed to noise for an extended period of time stand at risk of developing one or more coronary artery disease, arterial hypertension, stroke, and heart failure. And get this, a study by Sound Agency found that when an office implemented sound masking technology, there was a 46% improvement in a worker's concentration. That's crazy. Just by calming the sound, calming the noise in the atmosphere, people were able to produce 46% more. So anyway, we live in noise, amidst the noise. It's a 21st century reality. You know, as those who live mostly in the city, we've become very acclimated to noise. In fact, you almost become desensitized to it, but it's still having an effect on you. Recently, my wife and I had, we have the blessing of living in a cottage right on a lake. And I walk out on the dock at night, and I just wonder at the silence. It's absolute. I just stand out there, and I look at the quiet, calm lake, and I'm just amazed. It's like, it's so quiet. And in those moments of solitude, there's something in my soul that feels like this is healthy. There's something of a peace that washes over me that in that moment of solitude where it's just the quietness of nature, where my mind is able to calm itself, my soul is able to feel a greater sense of peace. There's something about it that's like, you know, I think there's a part of my humanity that was made for this silence. Well, not all the time, but there's times where we need to pull away from the noise and allow the silence, the solitude to quiet our souls. Something very healthy about that. You know, there's different types of noises, and I'm not going to get into all the science of that, but there's physical noise, obviously, and last night my dog could tell you about that. Actually, it's my son's dog that we've been dog-sitting. She's a golden doodle, and she's so much fun, so annoying. She has always got to have attention, but last night we have some neighbors who, bless their heart, they love fireworks. And like all the time, and they had some big ones last night. And did you know that there has been, have you heard on the news that there has been an exponential rise in complaints over fireworks this year? The police department has been getting flooded with complaints about fireworks. I think part of that is because people are so over the noise. Nothing's really changed this year. I mean, fireworks were legal last year, too, but for this year, it just seems like there's so much noise that it almost feels like people are like, if I have any more noise, it's going to put me over the edge. Physical noise has an effect on us. You ever have someone tapping their foot when you're trying to concentrate? You're trying to do your work, tap, 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 or somebody's chewing their gum? And you're like clicking their pen. Oh, man. Trying to take a test. He just wants to turn to him, brother, sister, love you. Stop it. You know, I've got a neighbor right across the street from us, and he has a friend who has a Harley Davidson. And, you know, I'm not a motorcycle guy. I probably would be if I could afford one because I think they're really cool. But this is like a custom-made Harley. This thing is beautiful. It's so loud. And for some reason, and again, maybe some of you motorcycle people could tell me, but he pulls it into the driveway at 7 a.m. on Saturday, and he just lets the thing idle. I don't know if it runs better if you let it idle for a half an hour, but yeah, there's that. Constant noise. You know, whether it's traffic or radio, 24/7 news cycle, social media, noise. It's a constant flow of information. Whether it's physical noise or whether it's just the banter, the chatter, the information overload, people are getting saturated in noise, and it's having an effect on us that isn't always good. Sometimes it's internal noise. Sometimes it's not things you hear, but it's what's going on between the ears. And that noise can come from many voices. I was sitting out in a chair by the lake, and the guy who lives next to this cabin, he has a little 7-year-old daughter. And she was showing him something that she produced on paper. I don't know if she wrote something, but he said, "Kate, you inspire me." And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, that's pretty strong words. You know, I thought, is that hyperbole? Is he exaggerating? Just encourage her? So the cynical side of me, just full disclosure, was thinking, really? She inspired you? I mean, he works for Microsoft. He works with the head of Microsoft. This guy's seen some inspiring things. But here's a 7-year-old producing something, and I thought, Wow, what a cool thing for that 7-year-old girl to hear. Who cares if it was hyperbole? That little girl is going to walk around with that internal voice saying, my dad, I'm inspiring to my dad. She carries that confidence. She's going to carry that confidence, that affirmation with her. I was just watching Instagram this morning, a little video, actually it was put on Donovan Long. He works for News 8. Awesome brother in the Lord. But he put a little video clip, and it was this little boy. He's probably 4 years old on his way to school, and he's just repeating the same affirmation to himself over and over. He's like, I am smart, I am blessed, and I can do anything. He just kept saying that over and over and over and over and over again. And it's not that we don't have to deal with the reality. That kid is going to rule the world someday. And it's not that we don't have to deal with the realities of our weaknesses, but that internal voice that says, that noise in our mind that is a positive affirmation connected with who we truly are as children of God, as made in His image. Those are good things. Because I can tell you, having been raised in a not-so-functional environment, I remember when my parents came home from a third-grade conference, and the teacher had told my parents, your son, he's never going to amount to anything. And my parents told me that. Now, you think that didn't have an effect on my soul? As a little kid, that's unfiltered. Now, I'm sure I had some stink on me. As a third grader, I'm sure that, you know, I wasn't always easy to handle. But hearing those words, that must be who I am. That must be, the big people are speaking that into me. And that had an effect on the trajectory of my life because it was that inner voice that repeats itself. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you could tell me a whole lot more. Those voices that are angry or shaming or condemning, that diminish our value, that noise that we can't seem to get away from. So, what do we do with this? And what does Jesus have to say about the noise that he dealt with? Did Jesus, in antiquity, way back 2,000 years ago, did he have to deal with noise? I mean, it was a lot quieter then. There weren't as many things to affect, you know, the atmosphere. But oh yeah, Jesus had to deal with a lot of noise. Listen to some of the things that he had to deal with. Constant, unrelenting needs of the sick, the poor, the broken, and the marginalized. Everywhere he went. No one had ever seen anything like this man. It never existed. So everywhere he went, demons cast out, people's eyes are being restored, limbs are growing, leprosy is being healed. You better believe in antiquity, without modern medicine, there was a crush of humanity wherever he went to be able to touch even the hem of his garment. Everywhere he went, thousands of people and the constant need, the clamor of the crowds demanding his attention and services. So there was that noise, that constant noise, and that constant desire to reach out and to touch and to heal. And then there was the hatred of the religious leaders who were consumed with jealousy. So alongside of this crowd of people who are crying out, Son of David, Son of God, touch me, heal me. There are the religious leaders hanging around the periphery who are jealous and angry, full of hatred and demonic venom, want to kill him. He's constantly aware of that noise. The political leaders who are around him, who are really pawns in this epic spiritual battle, who didn't really see him as anything more than just a so-called king of the Jews. How can we control him? How can we contain him? His own disciples, their neediness, their inability to understand, their own personal agendas, their expectations of Jesus, their potential and their failures, his own family members who thought he was insane, the forked and lying tongue of the devil who is constantly seeking to further his agenda through obvious enemies and not so obvious enemies. And then there's the lifelong knowledge that at the end of his life that he is going to suffer an awful destiny in the crucifixion and giving up his life. Noise was all around Jesus, internally, externally. He lived with it 24/7. How did he deal with it? How does one man deal with the crush of humanity as the Son of God is sent into the world to manifest the light of the Creator and to redeem humankind? Well, four ways Jesus dealt with it. One, he knew where he came from. And this is very important for us in our dealing with the noise. Jesus knew where he came from. He came down from an eternal throne in heaven. It says the bread of God is that which has come down out of heaven and gives life to the world. John 6:33, John 3:31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth, but he who comes from heaven is above all. So Jesus dealt with the noise because he knew where he came from. He was the eternal creator come down from heaven. And secondly, he knew who he was. He knew who he was. That is so critical for us to understand. Jesus knew who he was, so he was not going to be manipulated by the expectations that were cast upon him or the identity that people were trying to associate with him. He knew who he was. He wouldn't allow the crowd to define him. He wouldn't allow the Pharisees to define him. He wouldn't allow his disciples to define him. He wouldn't allow those who were speaking well of him to define him. He knew who he was. Matthew 17:5, while he was still speaking, this is Peter at the transfiguration, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So there's a lot of voices that are coming at us trying to tell us who we are or what we should think or what our identity is. And the same thing was true about Jesus. He's crazy. He's demon-possessed. He's the next king to defeat the Romans. God's voice, the Father, says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Jesus knew who he was at the core of his being. And some of us, we struggle with, who am I? Am I what people say I am? Am I what my past has created? Am I defined by my career, my position, my relationships, my failures, my successes? Or am I defined by who God says I am? This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Not because of what you've done, not because of what you've done, not done, not because of your failures or your successes, not because of what someone may have said of you, but because of what God says is true. You're mine. You have eternal value because you are made in the image of the God who is love. Period. Period. That's the voice we listen to. I love this scripture verse. You know, in Luke 4, Jesus' first sermon, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." And he's speaking in the temple. This is his first public sermon. And it says that everyone was speaking well of him. They were amazed at the gracious words that were falling from his lips. And literally, by the end of the sermon, they're trying to throw him off the cliff. That's pretty rough. I mean, I've preached a lot of times, and I would prefer that people say, "Oh, into division, get him hit off of his lips." Not, "Let's take him out and throw him into division, get him hit by a truck." But essentially, that's what happened. But it says in, where's the scripture verse here? John 23 through 25. It says, "When he was in Jerusalem at Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, he himself knew what was in man." That is something that we need to take to heart, because we're so easily manipulated by the opinions of others. whether they say something nice about us or kind, I mean, that's great, but that doesn't become our identity. If somebody casts aspersions at us or criticizes us or speaks a harsh word or they've spoken harsh words over you, that does not create your identity. That's not who you are. My mistakes don't define me. The opinions of others don't define me. God defines me, who I am. Next, Jesus knew why he was here. He overcame the noise because he knew his mission. He was driven by the mission. He was driven by the cross. His whole life had the cross in view. And everything that he was to do to bring humanity to that central point of history, bringing people to the cross, demonstrating love and forgiveness, that was his mission. And he would not be deterred from that single mission. So all the noise, all the expectations, everything that was clamoring for him to go in different crowds, the directions and the expectations that they had, he shut it out because he knew, I need to follow the mission of the Father, and I don't need to make excuses for that. He says in John 6:38, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Even his own disciple, his close friend, you would think those people that you can rely on the most. And we do need friends, and we do need brothers and sisters close to us to encourage us. But they're not always speaking the voice of God. We have to have an ear to what the Spirit of God is saying through his word. Matthew 6:21 through 23. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. There's some weird words. God forbid it. Yeah, I know. Tongue twister. God forbid it, Lord. That's a little ironic. This shall never happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. His very own friend, his close friend, speaking, manifesting the words of Satan. But Jesus is like, no, you're not going to deter me from my destiny. The noise is not going to stop me from what I know that I need to do, because this is what God, my Father, has called me to do. So he overcame the noise by knowing his mission. And then he knew where he was going. He knew where he was going. You know, James gave a beautiful testimony of a woman of faith, his mom. She is enjoying heaven, bliss, absolute joy beyond imagination. And her life from I'm going to be with you was driven by where she was going. I'm going to be with the Lord. That's my home. And because of that, my life is going to look a certain way. The decisions that I make, the things that I think, the words that I speak, it's going to be driven by that ultimate reality. This is not, in case we haven't noticed, this is not heaven as we speak through our masks. Something should be evident that this place is a little broken. Yeah, just a little bit. But Christ came to redeem. The world is not evil, but it certainly is broken. And we need to know this is not our home. We're here to manifest the kingdom of God. Jesus sent out the disciples and he said, tell them this, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So everywhere we carry the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is near to whoever we face, not just in this room, but wherever we go, we carry the Spirit of God. That's our mission. Bring as many people along. Love people. Love them. Love them. Show them compassion. Show them kindness. There's so much noise out there that's making people feel horrible. They're dealing with so much external noise, so much internal noise. They need to see a manifestation of the light and the love of Christ. It doesn't mean that we water down the truth. The truth is the truth. We didn't make the truth. We just proclaim it. But how much do we need to manifest the love of God in a culture that sees so little of it? A lot of judgment? A lot of criticism, a lot of opinions, a lot of back and forth. Not a whole lot of love. But what do people need? They need to know you're loved. You have value. God loves you intensely. He has an eternal destiny for you. He forgives you. You're not who people have said you were. You're not even who you think you are. You're who God says you are. You have eternal value. Jesus knew where he was going. He even says in John 8:12 through 14, Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going." There's great confidence in knowing who you are and where you're going, because I know. Excuses for the God who loves me and that I love, because I know why I'm here. I'm here to serve him. I'm here to manifest him. I'm here to glorify him. I'm here to love people and love God. And then finally, how did Jesus overcome the noise? He would withdraw to a quiet place of solitude and pray. Luke 5:15. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Matthew 14:23, after he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. You know, I guess one of the things that I felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you today is to find a place of solitude, to shut out the noise, to make an intentional effort to shut out the noise. And I don't know what that looks like for you. For me, I'm not huge on social media. I have to be to some degree because of my job, because we have Facebook accounts that are tied to our students and we have to get information out. So I do have a social media account. But honestly, there's times where it's like, is this information really necessary that I'm getting from the news feed? Is this information really something that's helping me to get closer to Jesus, or is this just taking up mental space? You know, I'm just setting this thing down. I need to get away from it. And I've noticed that, you know, people will come to you, and of course, in this day and age, there's no shortage of things to share, you know, because we know everything almost instantaneously. I don't even think there's new news anymore, you know? Hey, did you hear half the world exploded? Yeah, I heard it a half hour ago. That's not new. You know, there's no new news, but everybody's chattering. Blah, 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 blah. It's noise, noise, noise. Jesus himself, with the crushing demands that the Son of God had on his life, he, as God incarnate, had to get away from the noise so that he had the mental and emotional and spiritual space to be able to give out. It's okay to pull away and just say, I need to just silence the atmosphere. It's like standing out, whether it's on a dock, at a lake, or wherever, out in the woods, wherever you find, whatever your happy place is, visit it more often, because you may find in that place a place of healing and peace and the gentle whisper of God. Well, I want to, as always, I have way more than I should have, so I want to respect your time. What time do you guys finish? 11:30? What's that? Well, I don't want to, okay, I don't want to torture you. So 11:30 is usually when wrap up? Okay. All right. So Jesus overcame the noise because he knew where he came from, he knew who he was, he knew why he was here, and he knew where he was going, and he got away. He got away from the noise. When you read through the Gospels, you will be amazed at how many times it says Jesus went to get away by himself alone to pray. You know, I thank God that early on in my Christianity, I came to the Lord at 23. I was a mess. I was a wreck. And I'm not going to get into that, but yeah, I carried a lot into my salvation. A lot of baggage. And when the lights got turned on for me, and I came to Christ, it was like, wow, this is incredible. You're telling me the God of all creation knows me, has a plan for my life, and can do anything. And all I have to do is talk to him? Oh, I got a lot to say. Seriously, I just couldn't get enough of just talking. I got so much. You know, he's listening, and he can do anything? Now, I had to learn that he doesn't just do anything I ask him to do. There is that lordship part. But God took exactly, he took my enthusiasm, he took my zeal, and he showed me some awesome things. He delivered me from things instantaneously, bondages. And I know it doesn't always work that way, and believe me, not everything in my life that needed to go went instantaneously. But some things did, and it was pretty powerful. But the point I'm making is that I just love to be with the Lord because I learned just to talk to him as a friend. And my heart sometimes really feels for people who don't have that sense of friendship or intimacy with their Heavenly Father because they're not really sure how to approach that relationship. And I get that. I had not a good relationship with my earthly father, and some of that got transferred over, not in a good way, to my Heavenly Father. But what I did learn is that he's compassionate and gracious, and he's not going to judge me, and he already knows my junk. It's not like I'm going to shock him if I tell him, you know, something that I did, you know, that I shouldn't have done. He's there. He loves me. He's not condemning. He's for me. He's not against me. It's like, that's the God who's my Father, and he can do anything, and I can talk to him and pour out my heart. So at a young age as a Christian, at 23, I just learned I need to be with him. And then, of course, over the course of my life, he keeps putting me in situations where it's like, I can't do this, God. Are you kidding me? What are you calling me to do? And he's like, well, I didn't ask you to do it alone. In fact, I'm not going to let you do it alone. In fact, if you try to do it alone, you're going to fail epically because I want to do this with you. Not because, you know, I'm trying to dangle your inadequacy before you, but because I love you and I want to do this together. And so he keeps putting me in these places where I have to depend upon him. And through those experiences, I've learned, man, he's faithful. He's going to do what he's going to do. And I get to be along for the ride. This is pretty awesome. I'm not saying it's always been easy. It hasn't been. But he's faithful. And I've learned things about him through those moments of trusting him and crying out to him. And walking with him. So whatever you can do to find that place to be with him, I guarantee you he is your best friend. Whether you realize it or not, you may have a best friend right now. You may not. But Jesus is and will forever be your best friend. Your bestest of friends will fail you. Jesus will never fail you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, ever. Now, you may have trust issues. I've had trust issues over the years, big time. Especially when God would ask me to do things, it's like, this is way too scary. And I've trusted people before, and it didn't end up well. So what's this going to be like? And Jesus is like, nope, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. I'm faithful. And he is. He comes through. So I know what trust issues are. I know how hard it is at times to not listen to those voices that have been ramrodded into your brain or your experience. But that doesn't change the truth. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. And he is called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians. The prince of the power of the air. What a bizarre thing to be known as. What in the world does that mean? The prince of the power of the air. Guess what? He's the master of noise. He loves noise. If he can fill the atmosphere with noise, he can distract people away from the truth. He can manipulate their thinking, and he can ultimately surreptitiously control them. He is the master of the atmosphere. So as you hear the noise out there, step back and say, where is this noise coming from? Is this God, or is this just a distraction? Is this coming forth from the prince of the power of the air who is trying to manipulate me to thinking a certain way or behaving or acting a certain way? Possibly. You know, Peter, this is such an interesting account of Peter on the water. When he's walking, did you notice where it says that he saw the wind? He saw the wind. The gospel writer specifically said he saw the wind. Not he saw the waves. I can see the waves. I can't see the wind. I can see what the wind produces. I could see the wind blowing the trees and say, yes, there's a storm, but I couldn't see the wind. Peter saw, or he paid attention to the noise. And he got his eyes off of Jesus. As long as his focus was on the Lord and his words, and it was very simple, he said, come, one word. Peter, one word, come. But Peter looked and listened to the noise and got his eyes off the Lord and started to fail. And that's the same way we are. We listen to the noise. We get our focus off of what's really important, off the Lord. And we can fail in our faith because we're listening to the wrong things. You know, Peter failed because he took his eyes off Jesus, but he also often failed because of several reasons. And believe me, I'm not beating up on Peter because obviously Peter is a great man of faith. But he, like all of us, fails. And we can learn from his failures. Peter had a desire for control, obviously. He's rebuking God. Of course, I've never done that. I've never argued with God. I've never told God, you should try this way, God. No. Yes, always. Many times. Not always, but many times. In fact, I remember a few times where I've prayed, I know what you want me to say, Lord. I know what you want me to say, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. You want me to say, not my will, but yours be done, but I really think my will is better right now. And the Lord's like, yeah, tell me when you're done. Tell me when you're finished. And it usually ends up with me going, okay, not my will, but yours be done. Peter's pride, his self-sufficiency versus humility caused him to fail. Even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will never deny you. Really? Okay, how'd that work out? Humility is not some self-effacing attitude where we just kind of this false sense of, gosh, I'm no good. I can't really do anything. No, Scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Humility is an understanding of our dependency upon the Lord. So truly, I can do nothing apart from him, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Peter had this pride. I can do it through my own strength. Jesus, like, Peter, you're going to fail epically if you try and do things in your own strength. Or Peter failed because, at times, because of his shame. You remember when there was the catch of fish? Jesus says, throw your nets out on the other side. Lord, we've been fishing all night. We're exhausted. But because you, the preacher, tell us, the veteran fishermen, to do it, we'll do it. They throw the net on the other side. They got so many fish in their net that they can hardly pull it into the boat. What is Peter's response? Does anybody remember? He looks at the Lord and he says, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. He recognizes, wait a minute. There is a power in a person far greater than I. And just get away from me, Lord. Again, that inner voice, shame, shame, shame. No, 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 no. Jesus is like, no, 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 Peter. from now on, you're going to be fishers of men. I'm not, forget the shame. I know you better than you know yourself. You don't need to be defined by your shame. Okay, so wrapping it up. What waves are you listening to? See, noise has power. Noise has power. Listen to this, Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. God's enemy desires to dominate the noise. We need to silence the noise and have time alone with God to discern, to fine-tune our discernment towards God and not Satan's manipulations. Hebrews 5:14, this is a great scripture. It says, solid food is for the mature because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. It takes practice and maturity. It takes constant effort of submission to the Spirit of God and listening to where the atmosphere is, reading His Word to discern what is good and evil, particularly in an age where the atmosphere is flooded with noise. Well, this is the way you should think, or this is the way you should think, or how about this opinion or that opinion? It's like, whoa, what should I really think, Lord? We have to train our senses to the Spirit. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful. For what? For the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is a powerful scripture full of warring imagery. And what the apostle is trying to tell us is that there is a battle. And it's a battle for our minds. It's a battle for the narrative. It's a battle for the noise. And we need to stand upon the truth of God's word and His gospel. That is the foundation of what we believe, not the philosophies of men. Not the things that the enemy is trying to perpetuate through the noise. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, whatever we listen to long enough will affect our mind, our will, and our emotions. And whatever messages we allow in will impact the way we think, our attitudes, our words, and our actions. At the end of the parable of the sower, Jesus gives this parable and He says, there, if you remember, there's the parable is there's a farmer and he's sowing seed. And the seed is synonymous with the Word of God. And it's sowed in four different types of soil. Only one type of soil produces fruitfulness. And the soil represents the heart of the individual. And he concludes this parable by saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. What a weird saying. If anyone has ears to hear, what's he saying? If anyone has a discerning heart to hear what God is saying, and he was saying to them, be careful what you listen to. Not every voice out there is planting good seed in our heart. So, in that parable, the good seed and the good soil is the Word of God implanted upon the heart. And Jesus is saying, be careful what you listen to, because there are things that are trying to be sown into your heart that are trying to manipulate you away from God. So what waves are we producing? What noise is coming forth from our lives? This scripture verse is one that it's very simple. Three commands, and I really believe that if you can master this in your life on a regular basis, you will be a mature person in Christ. And I work on it every day, and probably will until the the day I die. James 1:19. Nobody's more practical than James. He says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." So be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. But what happens most of the time is we're quick to speak, we're slow to listen, and we're quick to anger. Well, I mean, let's be real. Not all the time. Sometimes we have good days, but how many times are you talking to somebody or you're in a conversation and it's like, okay, I just finished what you're saying because I've got something to say. Does that happen in the atmosphere now? Everybody's just like, tuck, 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 tuck. And I've really made a practice of trying to listen to people's stories. Listen to their heart, because many times when you're really listening to people's stories through the ears of the Spirit, they start to feel, wow, this person values me. Instead of trying to say, well, I'm going to tell you what you need to think. You know what? Everybody's telling everybody what to think. But when you're listening to someone, listening through the ears of Christ, many times you'll hear things that you'll be able to either respond in the Spirit or just build a relationship with someone. I've had more people say, you know, I coach students, and I've had more students say, wow, I just felt so good talking to you. And it's like, I didn't say anything. I just sat there and asked questions and listened. But it's so life-giving. It's like, wow, what an amazing concept to be listened to. So we need to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Okay? Got to wear your mask inside. There's the law. Or in public places. But it's no law against love. That's just a little bit too much love, a little bit too much joy. Whoa, hold off on the peace. Ah, that patience. Whoa, got to rein that in. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So we are free to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. But as you hear the noise out there, ask yourself, is this promoting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? If it's not, maybe you need to put up those filters. Yeah, you can't control what people say, but you can control what you listen to and what you entertain. Let's pray. If you want to just, before I pray, just close yourself in this moment of silence. And I want to just, there's a few categories that I want you to reflect on. As I say these sentences, just think about, is this me? And if it is, just acknowledge it, and then at the end of this, I'm going to pray. And by acknowledge it, I mean just say, Lord, you know what? That's me. That's me. You know, as you've listened to this, maybe you have a hard time silencing the noise because you struggle with your identity, your purpose, and your destiny. Maybe some of the things that I said that referenced identity, it like that hit you like a sledgehammer. It's like, wow. I know that there have been those things that have affected the way that I view myself. And it's so hard to silence those voices and believe that God is for me, that He loves me, that He has a purpose and a plan for me, that I'm not some accident, but that He knows me by name. He put me here for a reason, to glorify Him, to love Him, and to shine His light in this world. But I struggle with that. Because of the voices that have been sold to sow lies into your mind. Or maybe you've allowed the devil to sow lies into your mind about who you are in Christ. Like he has just run roughshod over you. The voices of condemnation. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have the right family. you don't have the right relationship. You've made too many mistakes. You've this, you've that, trying to sow lies into your mind to bind you up. Or maybe you've allowed busyness and constant distractions to rob you of intimacy and strength you need from the Lord. You know, if there's one thing that this pandemic has done is it has slammed the brakes on for many, many people. And they're like, I just can't wait to get back to some sense of normalcy. But maybe God said, you know, I didn't create this pandemic to just slow you down, but I certainly am using it to try and get your attention because I want to be with you. I want to grow in our friendship. But you've allowed many, many things to keep you from that place, and God's calling you to a place of quiet friendship. If any of those are you, and you sense that in your heart, then just say, yep, Lord, that's me. And let's go to Him right now in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that Your Spirit is here because it lives inside Your Spirit. He lives inside of each one of us who name Your name. And so we are confident, Lord, that Your presence is here. And when Your word is lifted up and Your name is lifted up and Your truth is lifted up, You said, I will draw all men unto Myself, all women, all children. And so we lift You up. We thank You for who You are, for Your goodness, for Your love, Your kindness. And Lord, today we pray that You would help us to silence the noise. Silence the noise around us, Lord. For some of us, we're going to have to get radical with some things to silence the noise. But for others, Lord, who have not been able to silence the noise, things that have just stuck in their spirit or their soul, I pray that You would extract that by the power of Your Holy Spirit and that supernaturally You would arrange circumstances and situations that would reorient and redefine in their minds who I am, why I'm here, where I'm going. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your presence. It means You mean everything to us. And thank You for these precious people here at the pier. I ask for Your blessing upon their families and pray, Father, that in the days ahead, Lord, You would shine Your light brighter through this body of believers than You ever have before, for Your honor and for Your glory. In Christ's name, amen.